Okay. Good to go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm here before you tonight to answer questions mainly, so I'll be brief in my remarks. There was a packet that I believe Amber handed out and was distributed with the committee materials. We have copies of it here to hand out. So this provides information about the two resolutions that I'm here before you to discuss, resolution number 450, which establishes capital project number 601, small business and economic recovery, and resolution 451, approving the execution of a contract for $435,000 entered into by the county with Ulster County Economic Development Alliance. So these two resolutions are really a request for the legislature and the county's support in furtherance of the redevelopment goals for Enterprise West. We're making significant progress towards the reactivation of this really important regional economic development site, and time is really of the essence. We have recently, just last week, received authorization from the USITA Board of Directors to begin negotiations with a developer who has responded to one of our RFEIs, that is Natural Resources, Joe Cotter, the developer responsible for the redevelopment of the IBM Fishkill site in addition to other sites. And feel that we're really in the right position to begin in earnest the redevelopment of this important economic development asset. And, you know, the early investments that the county legislature has made in this site, both the capital project passed last year and this request, are pivotal steps to be able to reactivate this site. So here to ask for your support to accomplish that. On page four, we've just reiterated the redevelopment goals for Enterprise West. These were stated in the RFEI. They were restated in the surplus resolution that you passed to authorize the transfer of the properties to USITA. And really kind of stress that we're after here not just a maximum sale price eventually of the site, but of accomplishing a number of important economic development goals for our community. And ultimately, though, would lead us to the transition of this site as we meet those goals to responsible long-term ownership. On page five, this is my attempt in kind of a visual way to present the high-level plan that we've been working under to transition and redevelop the site. Series of steps here, many of them already completed, as the check marks indicate. The first being to secure a property interest. That was the foreclosure action back in 2019. And then over the course of 2019 and 2020, we've been assessing and stabilizing the buildings, in part thanks to the Capital Project 576 last year. And then in the last year, 12 months, we've been really focused on determining the market interest with two RFEIs. The first, which was completed in January of 2021, was to assess the interest on parties of all types and sizes in the site and received a healthy response. And then a second RFEI that we issued just back in September to look for development partners. The next few slides, I won't go into a lot of detail, but I wanted to provide a little bit more background on each of those steps, the things that we've done to secure the property interest, assess and stabilize the buildings, determine the market interest, and eventually arriving at the state that we're at now, which is an attempt to begin occupying and improving the property. That's a really big step, and we recognize that the request tonight comes on top of prior requests and that there's some reluctance to support this request, but I think it's really important for folks to know that this is pivotal to our ability to accomplish those economic development goals. Right now, as I mentioned before, the USITA board has authorized us to enter into negotiations with Natural Resources. Really represents the best possible development partner that we could envision for this site, with experience in similar IBM facilities, with an interest in locating tenants on the campus that are consistent with the things that we've heard from the community and from you all you'd like to see happen on the site. So we really see this as an important opportunity to seize on now. But to do that, we really need certain things. We need to have a property appraisal. We need to have that in order to begin earnest discussions with a developer. We need to have a survey. Normally, as you all probably know from personal real estate dealings, a survey and an appraisal are a normal process in the purchase of a property. But here, where there was a foreclosure, none of those were completed as part of the foreclosure, so we need that in order to move forward. In addition, there's legal fees, there's engineering and architecture fees. All of these are necessary for us to get in a position where we can get the best possible structured deal with a development partner like Natural Resources. I'll just want to address, it's not in the PowerPoint, but I know that some questions came up in the past couple of days about property taxes on the two parcels that USITA owns. It's worth noting that really there's a status quo approach to the property taxes for the duration of the prior owner's inability to pay taxes. The county was obligated to make the school district and the town whole on property taxes that weren't paid. In 2021, as of the roll date on March 1st, the county was the owner of this property. So the county has received a tax bill, but that is really a status quo to what was happening before, namely that the county will continue to make the school district and the town whole this year as it held the property when the roll date was set, and then over the course of this year we'll be transitioning the property on the tax rolls to UCEDA. So in 2022, UCEDA will be the entity on the tax rolls for the property, and will proceed from there as the taxable entity responsible for those taxes. I think the final thing just to point out is that all of this is in furtherance of the goal of eventually selling the property. That has always been the stated goal, and in fact, the surplus resolution indicated that the proceeds of that sale, eventual sale, will be returned to the county. So it's important to remember that all that we're doing here is to invest to further the eventual, the redevelopment and eventual sale of this property, with the proceeds of that sale being returned to the county. So just to reiterate, the resolutions before you will allow us to complete the surveys and appraisals that we need to enter into a development deal, allow us to engage architects, engineers, and attorneys to enter into that deal, allow us to complete ongoing maintenance during the period of time while UCEDA continues to own the property until we engage a development partner that can take on those responsibilities, and to complete essential improvements as mentioned in the budget request. There's needs for some sprinkler connections to make sure that we can continue to protect the building from fire. Those are the requests. Happy to take questions, discuss it further as the committee sees fit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Legislator Bartels?
Thank you. I have a bunch, but I just want to start by understanding the tax situation that you just explained in super high speed. So,
sure.
The county's paying the tax bill. There's no prorating or figuring at what point the transfer happened. We're paying a full year's tax bill.
That's correct. The county was the entity owning the property as of the roll date on March 1st. If it had been UCEDA, and next year it will be UCEDA, UCEDA is a tax-exempt entity. UCEDA can apply for an exemption for those taxes, but that is not possible since the transaction happened mid-year.
And is that, excuse my naivete, but is that standard? I mean, if a transfer has happened in the interim, the person who don't you normally get reimbursed? Isn't there normally some kind of metric that happens so that you're only paying the taxes for the portion of the time that you owned it?
Correct.
If you sold a house or a property mid-year? I mean, it seems strange to me that the county would be making the town and the school whole if we didn't own the property for the full period of which we're being levied.
Understood, but I think the distinction here is that we're talking about a county and a tax-exempt organization. It's not like a traditional home purchase where I would purchase a home and be responsible for the prorated share there. Ultimately, UCEDA is entitled to a tax exemption, can't file that unless it owns it. The file date is March 1st. Couldn't file that because it didn't own it on March 1st. When it has an opportunity to file it again, it will file that and be tax-exempt as an entity. So we're in this in-between period this year because the county was the owner as of the roll date. The only option really is for it to continue to pay the taxes for this year with a transition happening next year.
And then Ginsburg got it before. So
no, I understand. I understand when Ginsburg, I understand us making it. And at the point of the county foreclosing on the property and taking ownership, the county still obliged to make the schools.
Yes.
And the town
yes.
hall.
Which as a reminder, that is what we're trying to eventually get out of that situation.
Right.
And it's, these are the steps necessary to get out of that situation. Again, just like the RFEI goals and the goals in the transfer, our goals here are to get this as a taxable property that is generating taxes, but these are the intermediate steps that it takes to get there.
I'm still having a little challenge understanding, but I'll wrap my head around
okay.
it a little more.
Okay. Happy to talk more about it if you have further questions.
All right. What the tax bill is. Can you lay it out for us, what we're paying this year and what we'll be paying next year even after it goes to UCEDA? Because what you're saying is we still have a school tax bill even after UCEDA takes ownership.
So again, the roll dates are set on March 1st. Next roll date, UCEDA will file its exemption. It will be the entity that is technically taxable, but because of its tax exemption will be exempt from that property tax. This year, the roll date, March 1st, the county was the owner. So the tax bills, remember, tax bills are looking back at the assessment, the roll date of that prior year. So it's looking back at March 21 as they bill for the school taxes now and then the town taxes in January. So those tax bills will come to the county because the county was the owning entity as of the roll date, and those tax bills will be made whole by the county for this remaining year with the transition happening next year.
And what's the amount?
I believe it's somewhere in the range of $500,000 for school taxes and somewhere in the range of $200,000 for town taxes.
Times two?
No, one.
Okay.
Okay, let's say Walter and then Dawn. We can't hear you.
No.
No.
Yeah, I'm
oh,
not.
There you go. There you are.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm not on mute. Thanks. So I just have a question back to the 2021 RFEI. I was kind of surprised because after we made our approval for you to go and that allowed you to go forward, I got a thank you from Farbridge kind of almost so quickly that it felt like they knew they were getting it beforehand. You say that most of them were for rent and lease, but that means that some of them were actually people interested in purchasing it. Can you speak to who was actually interested in purchasing it even back then and maybe why you didn't follow through with that, you know, with those
sure.
those proposals?
Sure. Of the 22 submissions, only one of them was a submission to purchase the property. The others were either leases or rentals, or there were some that were just professional services firms making us aware that they would like to consult in some form on the redevelopment of the site. The one submission that was interested in a purchase was a group out of New York City called A La Revere Development Group. Their proposal was mainly around housing and involved a complicated financing structure involving lots of public sources. As we interviewed them, they came to the conclusion themselves that that was not likely to be the best path forward on the site. They resubmitted in the second RFEI and again offered mostly a development consulting role rather than a purchase role. So they really turned out not to be a viable development partner in the sense that we need, which is to bring private capital to bear to be able to accomplish the redevelopment of the site.
Okay, legislative law. Jim, use your mic, please. Use your mic. Jim, use your mic.
So again, this isn't so much a question as it is just a thought process that I've gone through that I think might have made this whole thing a lot easier for you and for us.
Okay.
And that is, this is a development project, right? And so when you go to a lender, and in this case, we are a lender or a partner, there's typically two documents that are generated. And one is a sources and uses. In other words, this is what I think it's going to take to get this building up and running. And this is when the tranches are going to come in. This is when I need the money. And this is where I expect to get the money from. That's one document. And the other is an operating. Okay, now we're up and operating. This is what I expect the leases are going to be, and this is what I expect the expenses are going to be. And so that's not something that we as a lender or an investor have seen. All we've seen are requests for cash, you know. And we don't know where that's going and how it's going to be used. And from our perspective, if it's, and I'm not saying it's not legitimate, I'm sure it is legitimate, but if it was in a document that we could examine and know that, oh, you know what, in January, there's going to be a need for an environmental. Tim's probably going to come to us and say, I need $50,000. But what you've done is surprise the group and I understand. It's a big project. It's the first time through this for you. And so I give you some slack there. But I think that a sources in use and an operating document really would help your cause and make all of us more comfortable in this investment.
Sure. I accept your comment, understand where you're coming from. I appreciate the past conversations that we've been able to have about this huge endeavor that we're undertaking. And I think I would just offer that what you ask is reasonable. And I think we've striven to provide as much of that as we can in a constantly evolving situation here. I think, as I've shared before, it's frustrating personally to me and disappointing personally to me that our initial attempt at a wave of clients and tenants that we thought would be a really viable first wave did not work out. That ultimately put us in a position where I think we had to adjust our plan. And I think that's, as I explained to the Economic Development Committee, the nature of this beast. There's a lot of moving parts here.
Absolutely. Understand that but again, I go back to the strictly financial, because there are certain things that you have to do, right, to get this up and running. And you know those are coming down the line. So to prepare the group, I think, would have lessened the blow.
Sure.
And I don't think it's too late to do that, because I think this is not going to be the last request. So I would say, I would urge that you create both of those documents for this body so that, one, we're on your side and we understand where you're coming from and why there's a need. But at this point, for some folks, literally it's like pissing into a black hole, right? Because we don't know. So thank you. And I'd be happy to review, you know, whatever you put together. But I think that is just so necessary at this point.
Understood.
Legislator Archer.
Yeah, I just need some clarification on the new response by National Resources. What are they proposing? Are they proposing just acting as a property manager in this scenario, or are they proposing a purchase? What are they proposing? And what is the potential timeline of executing their proposal?
They are proposing to enter into a development partnership with USITA, and they have not established a timeline. They're looking for us to come to the table to negotiate terms, and that's what I've been authorized to begin as of last week with USITA's board approval.
So what's their expectation of USITA?
It's unclear as of yet. That's what we're going to be negotiating. It's certainly clear that they expect to have a partner that has an appraisal, has a survey, has the ability to maintain the property while we negotiate the terms of an agreement, all of those things, which are the purpose of the resolution.
And so have you sought out any other resourcing? I mean, resources or financial? Have you gone to IDA? Have you thought about bonding? What other avenues have you explored with regards to financing this versus coming back here for this?
Sure. And I think we discussed this at the Economic Development Committee. Certainly,
I want everyone to hear it.
Yep, certainly understand that. It's a reasonable question. The challenge, as we explored both bonding and commercial borrowing, is that we have currently no source of revenue to support that borrowing. We have an asset, but without the revenue stream to support that borrowing, those options are really precluded from us. So again, the purpose of the partnership here would be to be able to make the improvements necessary in the building to then be in a position to generate revenue through leases that would allow future borrowing.
And what about IDA? Did you go to the IDA?
We didn't have a discussion with the IDA. We've entered into preliminary discussions with them about future options to incentivize development on the site, to talk about those options, but we haven't talked about financing these improvements.
And can we expect another expectation of funding beyond this?
I am hesitant, as you can understand, to answer that. I think when I was first approaching
you've answered it before and it hasn't followed through.
When I was first approaching you all with this resolution, you noted that you felt that you had been told that you wouldn't get any further requests. So I think that Legislator DeLon's suggestion is a good one, and I think before we were to come back with any, if we were, that it would be reasonable for us to provide a more detailed picture of the sources and uses and the operating plan for the site to make sure that everyone is understanding what those investments get us in the long term.
All right, let's go on then, Bartels.
Quick question. How much money are
you... Jim, use your mic.
How much is the LDC prepared to partner with us on? I mean, you've got some assets, right?
Are you asking in terms of the investment contemplated in this resolution?
Correct.
The expenses that we're asking for here would be funded by the funding through this resolution.
Entirely.
USITA has a remaining cash balance of about $200,000.
So that's enough to at least pay for the appraisal, right?
In strict dollar terms, yes. But I think as an organization that's carrying these two assets and that also has other responsibilities, including the revolving loan fund, that entails some degree of risk, to have a zero cash balance in that organization would obviously be
I'm not saying zero, but at least
sure.
Be our partner.
Understood.
I think that's fair.
Understood.
It shows good faith.
Ms. Bartels.
Thank you. So one of the things, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is my understanding is in the second RFEI, it did not include the possibility of sale. It was strictly an RFEI that contemplated a partnership development deal. And that's a concern to me, because when we first talked about transferring the property, we talked about the highest and best use, and really, and it was at that time, in fact, that Legislator Archer, among others, was really pushing for some of the things you're asking for in order to understand the asset that we had and to be able to go out to, in earnest, get a real sense of what the market would bear. Now we're hearing, I don't know whether it's true or not, that there's an offer on another parcel of property. There's been a lot of discussion about who that person is, and in the immediate, that's of less interest to me than the fact that we haven't gone through that due diligence to see, even in the case of the potential developer that you're talking about partnering with, how that deal might be different if that developer were actually making an offer to purchase and develop themselves. And I am very concerned about a longer-term partnership in the absence of really seeing a real plan, seeing a real understanding of what's happening. What I understood at the economic development meeting that I attended was we're going to put in people as we're able to develop the building for tenants that feel appropriate. And that may not be the best use for the building in the long run. That may be a drain even on the county asset in terms of your time and the economic development team's time, et cetera. So I really struggle with what feels to me, and I think it was Chair Guevara's calling it a boat, something that's going to just continue to go on and on as we formulate and fill the building, rather than really find out, is there an opportunity to sell this building and to a developer on a project that makes sense? Because we haven't, the last RFEI didn't even include that. And so when we're talking about sale, that's a distant idea. Once we meet some goals of what we want to see in the building, eventually turning it over. And it's very hard for me to support that. And I also just want to say on the record, I really struggle with hearing the characterization of it being the county's responsibility to prevent a repeat of the previous owner. The situation of the previous owner in large part came about through a series of, I think, pretty serious mistakes, starting with allowing the previous owner, it wasn't the county, but allowing the previous owner to split the property in multiple parcels. Then allowing the previous owner to fall in years and years of arrears, and having a county that was hopeful that we could get the property back into one campus. I mean, that was, for a long time, there were those of us who were here remember the internal discussions of why aren't we foreclosing on these pieces of property, and there was a whole lot of secrecy and discussion. It was even hard, Ken will recall, it was even hard to get maps at that time of where are we at. And I'm not talking about on your watch.
Sure.
Where are we at in this? So I'm not sure it's the county's responsibility to make sure that in every, you know, parcel of property that we don't have a repeat of a bad actor. But I also don't think we could have the same kind of bad actor, because I certainly would hope we would, if there were 3 years of arrears, just like anyone else, if I fell into 3 years of arrears, we would begin a foreclosure process, which, incidentally, to my knowledge, we haven't done on all of the parcels yet. So all of this is very complicated, but I don't have a level of comfort, and I certainly, in terms of the specifics of what you're asking, some of them are so out of whack for me. We transfer, those of us who were reluctant agreed to transfer the property to USITA with really the understanding that that we were putting it in USITA's hands to find the highest and best use, and for better or worse, it was no longer our, you know, our direct concern. And again, having to hear multiple times that I should attend UC the meetings to find out what's happening, I'll take that point. But now it's a different situation when I'm not being asked to approve money for this. And I got to tell you, I had no idea what was happening. I didn't know that one of the tenants backed out until I saw it in the news. You know, I actually didn't even know what was happening with the other tenant, and I was pretty dismayed when I saw a contract that read to me like we were paying them to have parties. You know what I mean? So there's a lot that's been going on there that I'm really not comfortable with. And to me, this isn't enough of a plan to give me comfort. So I'm sorry to go on so long, but that's where my head is at the moment.
I apologize go ahead.
I just want to clarify that I think the goals for this effort are stated right on the second page of this handout, and I think, you know, I would be happy to hear if somebody disagrees with those goals. And you know, I think at the root of it, that's what I hear you saying, Legislator Bartels, that you know, are we investing more of our own staff time and, you know, commitment from the legislature in terms of funding than is worthy of what it would take to accomplish those goals? I hope that we would agree that this is a critical site for not just our county economy, but really in the region. There is nothing like it, and that we would be remiss if we, you know, the example to point to is the east side of the East Campus that recently sold in a way that, you know, time will tell how productive that purchaser is, but I think it's pretty clearly not the ideal situation, and I think that we're trying to make sure that we end up in a place where we continue to have the best and highest use overall for this campus, and that's worth some degree of investment of both time and money on the part of the county in order to accomplish that. That's at least my belief, and I understand if we have distance there and need to continue to find ways to get on the same page about how we do that, because I understand that ultimately that's, you know, we're asking for your commitment to something here. I understand that comes with some concern and some desire to be involved in understanding all these things and thinking them through. So I just, you know, not sure that fully answers your question, but I just want to make it clear that that's where I'm operating from on this.
All right, I apologize to Legislator Criswell. I didn't actually see you sitting there, so
that's
you're,
okay.
You're up.
Thank
then.
You.
Then it's Litz and then Rock.
Thank you. I just wonder if you could speak to the second bullet, engage architects and engineers, because when we had these multiple conversations over and over again, it was about getting the building up to code. It was safety and security. And so bullet 4, water supply for fire protection, totally agree with that. Could you talk to, you know, what the engage architects and engineers is? Because again, you know, if we have somebody who's going to come in and purchase the place, aren't they going to want to do their own design? Aren't they going to want to do their own build out? So tell us what this money's about.
Sure. Most certainly, if there's a buyer, when there's a buyer, they'll want to go through that. Even when there's a development partner that's going to be responsible for leasing up space, they're going to obviously have their own architects and engineers to work through that. At this stage of the game, in order to come to a conclusion on a development partnership, there are going to be structural questions, there's going to be engineering questions and architectural questions that this relatively modest amount of architectural engineering services would allow UCEDA to have its advisors to be able to position well in the negotiations with a developer. So it's not for detailed designs of tenant space, it's really to assess the condition of the building, understand the best and highest use of the building. As an example, we did have early in the process, we had Dutton Architecture do a feasibility study that looked at one particular set of options. We would want the ability in conversation with the developer and their professionals to really iron out whether or not a proposed use is feasible.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Litz?
Sure. Tim, the proceeds of the sale of this property goes to whom?
Back to the county, Mr. Legislator.
Ulster County. And I heard tonight that people wanted to know why UCEDA was not putting up their own money to sell this property. I don't know of any real estate agents that contribute money to improve a piece of property that they're selling for somebody else. So UCEDA, in my mind, is working here as a real estate agent to market the property, to get it ready for sale. If you need to upgrade a kitchen or redo the bathroom to enhance a sale on a property, the real estate agent typically doesn't pay for that. The owner does. and hopefully recoups it, you know, from the sale of the property. If you see to were to put up any funding to enhance the sale of this property, would they be reimbursed upon the completion of the sale? Will the county pay them back?
All that I can say is that the agreement that the county passed to surplus the property says that the proceeds of a sale will be returned to the county.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's hit a rock and then.
Thank you. Just I wanted to make one comment, you know, just a follow-up to Legislator Bartol's comments on, gosh, what was it? This is too many comments to go because now I've been rethinking everything that everyone ever been saying since then. Oh, about the foreclosure. You know, I think that we're finding out exactly why the property hadn't been foreclosed on over the years because, you know, the foreclosure is just the first part of a very expensive process. I've been thinking about that a lot today because I, you know, you and I and Mike Hine and others had talked about that for years about the foreclosure and the properties and the parcels and how to connect them, if we could connect them, and then what would happen if we end up foreclosing. And I think that this is one of those reasons. Including the environmental issues is another reason. But, I mean, just this right here. You know, to Legislator Litz's point, I respect his point of view on the money coming back to the county for a sale. But we're not talking about being anywhere near a sale here. So that's talking about money coming back to the county for a sale that may be 5 years down the road, that may be 10 years down the road. It may never happen. You know, and to your point, Tim, you know, I don't think anybody in this room disagrees with the goal. The goal of the highest and best use for the property, the highest and best sale, you know, all of those things are, you know, nobody disagrees with the goal. And I think that that's where some of my frustration comes from with this entire discussion is that, you know, anybody who disagrees with this resolution and with county funds being spent in this manner is automatically seen by some as disagreeing with the goal of moving forward on the property. I think that the goal is shared by everybody. It's the process that's the problem. And, you know, 90% of the time I spend arguing in this room is about process. And it makes a lot of people really crazy. Some people over here are a lot more crazy than others. And, you know, but it's because the process matters. And sometimes the process matters more than the end result. Because if you get to an end result through a bad process, you know, you buy a house, right? You get enough cash and you buy a house. It's a great end, right? What if you robbed a little old lady to get the money to buy that house? You're not going to say that the end result was a good thing because the process you took to get there was very poor. I don't think that we've had the best process here. And again, to Legislator DeLon's point and other folks, you know, we sort of stay in the dark, and then are hit with a $435,000 bill. You know, I'm personally prepared tonight to support some of it, but not all of it. I think that there are portions of this that are necessary to keep moving forward while also being able to build trust and confidence in this body. You know, but I'm not here tonight prepared to spend $435,000 of the taxpayers of Ulster County.
Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. I want to agree with what Legislator Ronk just said regarding sale. You know, to Legislator Litz's earlier point, if what we were talking about right now were a sale, we'd be having a different conversation. But we're not talking about a sale. So the idea of, you know, investing money, we are talking about potentially a very long-term partnership, and I can't gauge how long that is because I'm on the process issue. I have zero clarity on where we're headed, and that's going to be my next question because I've heard rumors, and some of them are maybe contained in the budget, that there may be a proposal to move county departments into this facility, and the portion of it that I've heard that's been rumored is that part of this development deal is contingent on those moves and that foot traffic and that guarantee. And so is that a part of the proposal? Is that a part of the discussion? Are we talking about moving full departments to the property, or would we be paying rent if we moved a county department in? Would the county be paying rent
right.
to USITA and the developer? And without that move, would it still be a viable deal that we're talking about? Like, these are all things that are swirling around and maybe happen at USITA, but nobody, it's not in this.
Right.
It's not in this. So I'm asking it straight up.
So, I mean, if I might answer, I don't know the answer to those questions. Those are things that are currently part of the discussion that we're trying to figure out the next steps here. They're not in this because they have not been determined yet. So if they were to be determined, certainly if and I think this actually goes back to a point that Legislator Gavaris made a long time ago, if there was a future scenario where a county function was to be housed in this building, that would involve a lease, that would come before this body for approval. So that's all I can say on that at this point. It's not a condition of the interest that was expressed by the developer. It's certainly, you know, it's a possibility on the table, but if it were to come to fruition, it would have to come through this body.
Can I just follow up? Is it a part of the discussion with the developer in terms of the shared vision of what the use of the building would be? Is it the developer's understanding that the county wants to use a portion of the building for county offices and the county's going to pay rent for that?
That has not been broached with the developer yet.
Okay. Any type of development, particularly one of this magnitude, and we've seen it fail in its previous owner, it requires a lot of understanding on how to develop properties, how to negotiate partnerships, et cetera. Who's advising the county in this negotiation to ensure that we're also protecting our investment and this partnership? Because all we hear is you all working on it, but how many developments have you really worked on? Do you have the expertise to do this? We have talked about this ad nauseum, and we're not getting any kind of answers. And once again, we're at a critical stage, and, oh, if we don't do this, we're going to lose the potential of this developer. Who's advising you?
So I would take issue with the statement that I have no experience in this. I think that's part of what qualified me for the position that you all approved me for. So I just want to make that clear. This is an area of expertise for me. I have done this work. Not as a developer,
okay.
But in consulting to developers and working on development projects. So we have, as part of our team, the USITA board authorized a contract with Harris Beach, which is a law firm well-respected for this kind of work. They are advisors to us. We have an accounting firm that advises on accounting-related matters, UHY. Those are parts of our team, as well as the staff at the Office of Economic Development, who have a variety of experiences and backgrounds that help us to do this work.
And that's coming out of USITA's budget?
Which part?
The lawyers and accountants,
yes.
Et cetera?
Yes.
Okay.
But there's also attorney's fees, lawyers coming out of this money.
Yes.
Correct. All right. I wanted to follow up on that. You know, one more thing I just wanted to, less of a question, more of a statement, as some have said today, that, you know, we continue to talk about USITA like it's not an arm of the county in any way, shape, or form. I just want to remind everybody in the room that the county executive is the sole member of the corporation, and you know, until very recently, all the board members were county employees, and now we still have legislators on there, and you, sir, are a county employee. So I hesitate to keep talking about it like it's two different sets of, you know, two different sets of organizations, two different sets of dollars. I mean, you know, the money that USITA does have has been provided in some way, shape, or form by the county in the beginning, because in the beginning, there was no money in USITA. You know, the county is the only contributor, I believe, except for profits from other things.
Well, not to belabor the point, I think you're absolutely right, but just as reference here, UCEDA was UCDC at one point, was a separate organization that was brought under the county during the transition to a charter form of government. And I think, Legislator Ronk, your point is exactly right. I think it actually speaks to the point that Legislator Litz was making, which is that UCEDA is an arm of the county for the purposes of doing work just like this. And this is a partnership, one that ultimately the return on the investment that's being made here comes back to the county. And that's why, despite, you know, a lot of sleepless nights trying to figure out how to do this and standing up in front of you all and getting a suitable grilling, I feel that this is the right thing to do. This is how this is designed to work. And I know that it involves a lot of concern and questions, and I'm glad and eager to continue answering those questions and really quite frankly grateful for, you know, the challenges that those poses to us to improve all of this. This is uncharted territory for Ulster County, and I think it's important that we develop the muscles that we need in order to do this work, and that's what we're doing tonight.
Mr. Bartel?
Yeah, I think Legislator Ronk makes a fair point, and it's something that I struggle with because, you know, in the transition of the property to UCEDA, while it is a county component and it's the exec is the sole member and we're all think aware of that, we cede a lot of control to UCEDA. We no longer have a say except for when you're asking for funds, and what we have a say about is whether or not to give you those funds, but ultimately once you get the funds or don't, the property's still in UCEDA's control until it's not. You know, which is why I think it's important to understand how the relationship works. I mean, I'm struggling to see if we're talking or anyone's talking about moving county departments, county offices to the building, would the relationship, if we think of a bit about it as an arm of county, we wouldn't pay rent to house a county department in a county building, and yet we could be required to pay rent to house a county department in that building owned by UCEDA, which is a component of the county. And I don't mean a dollar rent. I mean, we could be talking, and that was raised at one point by someone when a discussion was broached about BOE, that what's the market rate rent? We'd have to talk about what the market rate rent. Talking about a county department in a building that was just transferred to UCEDA. So these relationships are not uncomplicated. I mean, they don't have to be complicated, but I think they are, which is why I'd like to understand what the discussion is. If we are talking about moving county departments, are we talking about paying market rate rents?
Right.
I don't know what's happening.
So I can say that those conversations, to my knowledge, aren't happening yet. And if they do, I would just point out that in your scenario is correct, but I would note that a county department operating out of a county facility has occupancy costs. There is still a cost to that. It's not paid in rent. It's paid in DPW salaries to maintain that building, utilities paid by the county, all that. So, you know, in the hypothetical scenario that there is county use in the space, it is only fair that that use compensate for the cost of occupancy in the space. That is just a basic premise of you know, of tenancy in a building. And so I think that's just so you're aware, that's the position that I come to in thinking about this. It's not been it's been considered at various points as we've been laying out what are the possible tenancies in this building, and it's always been under the assumption that if there were county uses, they would have to cover their occupancy costs. It wouldn't be a market rate discussion. It would be trying to figure out how that gets carried, the cost of the building get carried.
Comptroller Gallagher.
Good evening. I want to just reiterate a point that we made in a memorandum, which is I'm going to speak to the resolutions even though you're not to them because I expect that this looks like the bulk of the discussion, but we expressed that we are concerned in the comptroller's office about the accounting for capital versus operating costs in these buckets that are moving through capital projects with ARPA funds. And I just want to note that out of the $435,000 noted in this resolution, 450 and 451, that there are expenditures here that appear to us to be clearly operating expenditures, including legal counsel, which is never capitalized, and property management and leasing. So I just want to note that. I know we've already had discussions with finance. I'm sure it will be dealt with later. That's fine. The second thing I want to note is that the comptroller's office does not exercise the same claims audit authority over the expenditures that UCEDA makes, and I want the legislators who are here today to realize that when a claim for payment is made right now from a county department, we are reviewing it to make sure it's within budget, that we've received the services rendered, et cetera, and then the funds are available. The contract with USITA and the, between the USITA and the county is for professional services. That is how the contract is stated, and there will be quarterly billings from USITA. We will be seeking backup of invoices, although that is, you know, not clear that it's directly within our purview to request those. And then finally, I have a question for Director Wiedemann, which is the $100,000 in property management and leasing agent anticipated to be paid to someone like a national development organization? Is there discussion to pay NDI right now?
NDI specifically as an entity? I'm not sure which organization you're talking about.
You're in discussions with National Development,
no,
right?
National Resources.
National Resources, I'm sorry. Is the $100,000 in this budget to pay them?
It is not considered to pay them. It would be through an RFP, to issue an RFP to select a property manager and leasing agent.
Any other? Let's say right
else. I just have maybe one last question for the moment. So in terms of contemplating using, which we haven't even touched on today, but using ARPA funds for these purposes, which use are we using it under? Like, how, because I feel, I looked at the list and it seems to me like we could be stretching the eligibility if it's which one I think it is. So I'm just curious which one we're attempting to be covered under.
I'm not sure the question is.
Categorize. How is it going to be categorized?
Yeah, so the ARPA funds have specific, in terms of limited use, supporting the public health expenditures, and I'm reading the,
sure.
the categories. Addressing negative economic impacts caused by the public health emergency, replacing lost public sector revenue, providing premium pay for essential workers, and investing in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure.
So I would look to our budget team to, they've structured the buckets
that
and
be, that would, I, yeah. It's not for you exactly, but maybe the budget team could tell me.
Under the economic development portion of that. Small business.
Supporting small businesses who faced financial challenges during the pandemic and investing in COVID prevention and mitigation tactics.
That doesn't.
There's one
small business portion of that.
I feel like it's a little bit of a stretch. Like if you actually read the guidance.
I believe there's a larger economic recovery
component.
So maybe someone could provide that to me so I could really see and understand it.
Let's see where tells you you're set.
That, I'm done. Yeah, that's
okay. Let's see, wrong.
I was just going to suggest that that be directed towards the budget team. So look at that.
Okay. Any other comments, discussion? All right, I have a few myself. So you were mentioning the taxes. You have $200,000 currently in your account to spend outside of this money. You have a $200,000
fund balance, basically, yes.
Okay, you have a $200,000 tax bill, which I presume Town of Ulster runs on a calendar year for taxes.
Correct. The town tax bill is likely to come in December, I believe, is when the town tax bills are issued.
So if that's $200,000, where is that money coming from to pay those taxes?
So, again, the taxes will be billed to the county. The county was the owner of record on the roll date. So what we're saying is that for the remainder of this year, the status quo that we've held for the past few years is the county has paid has made the school district and the town whole will continue this year. So that means the school district bill, which we've just received, and the town tax bill, which we'll receive later this year.
So you're saying, so when you said 2022, you really mean the USITA would pay the town taxes for 2023, the budget
yes,
year.
Yes, yes, the bill that arrives in late 22, which is for the 23 tax year.
Okay, so between, let's say now, and September, around September for the school tax bill, you have to come up with $700,000.
No, I guess what I was trying to explain is that in that intervening time, as is general practice for a not-for-profit that owns property, we will file the requisite exemption forms with the town, that will grant the tax-exempt status for the properties under UCEDA's ownership as a tax-exempt entity. And so that'll take effect on the roll date in March of 2022, and therefore will show as an exemption when those bills come due in late 2022.
Okay, so it won't have to carry over another year of till the following fiscal year.
Right.
Okay. All right. So then the other question, I got so many notes here as you were going along. Do you know what the operating costs are of the building now?
Yes, we have an estimate of those operating costs over an annual basis, somewhere in the range of $400,000 to $500,000 a year.
Okay, so this money seems to be pretty well earmarked. Where is that money coming from?
That is a valid question that for the time being will come out of UCEDA's funds and then ultimately will come out of leasehold, lease income from tenants.
Tenants that we don't currently have.
That we do not currently have.
Okay. So, Lisa Bartels had brought up my comment previously about calling it a boat, and actually I'm going to stop calling it a boat because I realized as I was driving up here tonight, when I was 17, I got a really great deal on a 1979 BMW 535i. Price was fantastic. It was a stick shift, really nice car. And then after I bought it, a month later, I forget what it was, water pump needed to be replaced, and just kept on going on and on. By the time I realized it, the vehicle wasn't worth what I put into it. I wound up selling it for less than I had into it. And what did the person do that I sold it to? They demolished it, turned it around, and they took it out for parts, and they sold the parts. It seems like we're going down a road of dumping money into something that we really don't have an end in sight. We have no clear path. We have a general direction, but I just don't see a clear path forward that gets us out of the real estate business. And I've been saying this for 20 years now, government should never be in the real estate business. We're not good at it. We pay high prices, more than the private individual would pay, and we have what is perceived as unlimited pockets to just start pulling from. And I don't see a way forward. So I'm sorry, I sort of said it wrong.
You said it so good. I'm just going to let that stop
Thank
there.
Let's say Bartels.
I just wanted to ask for clarity on the estimate, the cost estimate you just gave in terms of the expenses. That $400,000 to $500,000, is that an estimate in the building's current state or in the build-out state? Because I would expect, as people are using, then
that's in a minimal occupancy scenario. So I think it anticipates that users would be separately metered, would pay additional utilities on top of that for their individual use.
So it's a substantial amount of money for essentially a minimal occupancy space.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And you said UCEDA is going to pay for it, but right now you only have a couple hundred thousand in.
Hence the urgency to get a development partner and tenants in the building. That's always been the case. I think we've explained that from the beginning, that this is not a building that can be carried empty for very long. And so there's an urgency here to getting tenants in the space, which again pulls us back to the need for a development partner that can help us make the space suitable for those tenants.
And this development partner will also invest in the expenses of just operating that building until you can get renters?
Well, the expectation is to get renters as quickly as we can so that those renters can carry the cost of occupancy.
And is that developer bringing renters to the table?
That's the goal. That's what I think was expressed in the submission from National Resources, that they have the ability to do.
Just a quick thing to clarify, though. In the beginning, that was not the stated goal. The stated goal was to sell the property. I asked that question several times in the beginning of this, because as I said before, government should never be in the real estate business. And it was very clearly said, the goal of it is to sell the property for the best and highest, the best price and the best use. And it was never to be a landlord. So I don't like that comment is being said that was always the case. That may have been the behind the doors plan, but what was stated to us was it was a property that we wanted to sell. Just make that point. Let's say to Ronk and then Bartels.
Yeah, I changed my mind. Thanks. It happens a lot. So one thing that's been said to me several times on this, including more than once today by more than one different person, is that, you know, one of the goals is to get the property back on the tax rolls. And now this is, you know, when Deputy Executive Milgram asked if you would be welcome at our caucus, I said, yeah, but at your own risk. And this is sort of why, because, you know, sometimes you can say that, you know, it seems like there's a lot of different people saying a lot of different things. Now I'm hearing from you that the goal, at least in the short term, is to get a tax exempt status for the property. And then that begs questions on how we can have income generating property that is exempt from property taxes.
So if I might, I understand that concern, yeah. And I take it to heart. I think what I am trying to explain is that in the interim, if USITA owns this property without tenants next year, an exemption is the only option. USITA can't continue to pay taxes on a building that has no revenue stream. That should be pretty obvious. I mean, we've got $200,000 in the bank. That's not going to cover the taxes. So
nor is it going to cover the expenses. Nor is it going to. Yeah,
so, but this is the motivation and the urgency here is that we need to move forward with a development partner so that we have the capital to be able to improve the building to get tenants in. And to your point, Legislator Guevaras, the goal there is not to hold this long term. The goal is to find a responsible partner and then to transition the property to that partner. I am certainly hopeful that we won't need an exemption next year because we'll have a development partner, we'll have commercial tenants in the building, and there'll be a property tax being generated. But I think I hope you all understand that this is a process that started with the foreclosure, and I think, as you pointed out, Legislator Ronk, that was the beginning of a process, not the end of a process, and we're moving through that process now to get this property back on the tax rolls and productive.
May I just follow up? I disagree slightly with your timeline, and I think that that's one of the things that puts us here is that the foreclosure shouldn't have been the beginning of the process. The foreclosure should have been the middle of the process. The beginning of the process is deciding what we were going to do once we foreclosed. And I think that one of the problems is that we said, we're going to foreclose on this property, and then we said, oh gosh, we don't have any money in USITA. We foreclosed on this property. That was the plan, was to transfer it to USITA. Now what do we do? And I feel like everything since then has been a scramble. So we were, you know, first went to Farmbridge, then Farmbridge fell apart. Now we're going to, you know, National Resources. I guess my concern is what happens if National Resources says, you know what, it just doesn't work, we're not going to be able to come to a deal, then we're out another $435,000, and then we're still with a building that USITA owns, that USITA doesn't have the money to pay the taxes for, that USITA doesn't have the money to pay the maintenance for, and then we're going to be scrambling for the next thing, and you're going to be coming to us for another $500,000 to be able to pay the costs of operating the empty building until we find it. And the answer there is going to be, well, we can't have another Ginsburg. So I feel like there's just this, there's the potential for this just endless loop of spending county dollars, which goes into the, you know, the money pit, you know, idea. So again, yeah. I just disagree that the foreclosure was the, I disagree that the foreclosure should have been the beginning. I think it should have been the middle. And I think that that's what's gotten us in this mess to begin with.
If I just want to make it clear that the alternative to the foreclosure was a continuation of what was present before the foreclosure.
I understand.
So I think I understand your frustration. I share it. I certainly would be the first to tell you I'm not here to somehow perpetuate a cycle of coming before the legislature to ask for funding here. We are working through a plan that we feel confident will result in a better and higher use for this property.
With all due respect, I don't think that that's what you're here trying to do either. I believe that your goals are laudable, and I believe that they are positive. But we have to represent the 180,000 people that are gonna have to spend the money every time you have to come back in order to be able to try and continue to operate the property. That's where my mind is coming from on this, is that, you know, I know it's not your goal. We all have the same goal, like I said in the very beginning. We all have the same goal, which is to do the absolute best thing with this property that we can. I think that some of us have deep concerns about that potential loop, and there's not a small potential for it either. It's not like there's a 95% chance that this works out and a 5% chance that, you know, it goes to hell. You know, you're dealing with businesses in the real estate market, and you know, everything is in flux right now. So.
Can you hear me?
No.
There we go. All right, well, we keep going around here. Hey, we could have done this. We should have done this. We could be doing this. We should be doing this. But I have to ask, what are the alternatives?
I thought there was more coming.
I'm just going to say that Legislator Ronk, in the description of this circular fear, has totally crystallized my concerns. And then when you compound that with what you, Chair Guevara, said regarding the county being in real estate, that's the crux of this for me, is that while the idea of a sale, it's this eventual idea, and the absolute immediate idea is the filling it with tenants and being, and the county, because it is the county, being a landlord to this dream that it's just very hard for me to see us getting to that end. I don't have confidence right now. I don't have confidence. There's not enough for me to hold on to have confidence that we're in a realistic way heading that way. And that's my struggle.
Mr. Rock?
Thank you. And I apologize. This is a question because of my tardiness. I got stuck in traffic on the way here and I had to make a stop. Are we on the resolution right now, or are we just in a discussion?
No, we're just in a discussion.
Just before I started making motions, I wanted to make sure. Thanks.
Let me clarify.
Anybody else? Okay. Oh. All right. Director Wiedemann, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bert, you're up. The only good news is there's not many arrows left in their quiver, so you should be okay.
In terms of the budget for...
There we go. Gotcha. Sorry. In terms of the number of positions, in 2022, I have 36 positions that I'm responsible for. It's the same exact number as 2020. This includes four new positions in finance, three of which are the ARP positions. And I am asking for an accountant. In 2021, I removed a fiscal officer. I'm not asking for a fiscal officer back. Just an accountant. It fits the office better. Budget has increased. We offered a position in July. We were told to present it back in the budget, which we did, which is the Director of Budget and Innovation. The budget department, there is alternative work schedules for the positions in there. I think it's needed. You all have seen the new budget document. I think we can develop it even farther. It is the county's most important policy document. I want to make it better each year. One thing we want to do is add more department measurements. And one thing I know Legislature Archer will be glad to, I want to improve the capital program.
a lot more than what it is. So that is a goal for 2022. My contractual expenses are up only $100,000 from 2021, primarily because the courts are open now. Our 18B expenses are up more. You got to remember, finance is responsible for paying attorneys who are assigned by the court who aren't public defenders. Debt service overall throughout the county, it's $500,000 down from the 2021 adopted. It has to do with the refunding bond that you guys approved recently, which is good. Retirement overall throughout the county amongst the departments, we're down $1.9 million from 2021. That's due to New York State retirement rates are down, which is significant. I do expect those rates probably to stay constant, which is a good thing. That will save county expenses going forward. The good news on the revenue side, occupancy tax. I budgeted almost $2.9 million, which is up from $2 million in 2021. Through three quarters this year alone, we have roughly $2.4 million in occupancy tax. Our last quarter alone was roughly $925,000, our last quarter alone. It's the highest quarter we've ever had since the tax was reinstated in 2005. Sales tax, as I think you all are aware, it's projected in the 2022 budget to be $143 million. It is a substantial increase from what we've had budgeted prior. I'm always concerned with the sales tax being the most volatile and biggest revenue we have. We will achieve that number in 2021, I'm confident. Hopefully the growth continues in 2022. I make you all aware, it is a substantial increase. Do I expect the trend to continue? Yes, but I do expect it to slow down too. There's only so much folks have in terms of the economy to spend, and we'll see. One kind of catastrophic event, knock on wood, we've seen it before, so I do caution you when it comes to sales tax. I don't have anything else. Shannon, a quick summary, and I know you guys have a long night ahead. Yeah. So if you do have any questions, you always can email me some details, too, if you need any more information.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. All right. We'll move into the agenda here. Resolution 374, setting a public hearing for local law number 6, establishing... Hello? I gotta get closer, that's why. Ulster County School-Based Mental Health and Safety Act. Can I have a motion? Can I get a motion? Move it. Second. Second. Legislator Bartels. Discussion. Legislator Bartels.
Thank you. So this is obviously here because it came out of Laws and Rules yesterday. Legislator Parody joined us, and he might have said he was going to read about it in the paper because he left just at the minute we passed it. I'm open to sending it to public hearing to hear what the public has to say, but I just want to be on the record saying I have some real reservations about a couple things came up in committee. First of all, Legislator Gavaris, you raised some concern that I hadn't thought about before as to whether or not we, based on the language in the law, whether we would be obliged to reimburse schools for work that they're already doing and personnel that are already in place. I think that's something that we need to address. I also do not feel comfortable with moving the legislation forward as a blueprint. I would really want to understand what it is programmatically that we're supporting. And again, the way I'm reading it, what the legislation does is oblige us to spend the money, but doesn't prescribe how that money's going to be spent. And I get that could be a difference of opinion among legislators, but I'm saying for myself, I have some concerns. And I also just want to say that if we are going to move this to a public hearing, I would want the understanding and the confidence from my colleagues that while it's not required by our rules, that we would have a second public hearing if there were substantive changes, because I really do, in this case, this is a, it's a laudable goal, but it's also a very big goal with a lot of moving targets, talking about school districts, and I do think it's important to put our money where our mouth is. I just want to make sure that we're investing in programs that are demonstrated to work and that there is that back and forth feedback, which right now I'm not seeing in the legislation, but the sponsors seemed open to having more specifics, but just really wanting to hear what the public had to say about this now.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 445, authorize and design. Second. Chair Donaldson, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 450, establishing capital project 601.
I'll move it.
Move it. Second.
I'll second it.
Second. Discussion? Legislator Ronk.
As I said during the director's presentation, I'm prepared tonight personally to support the money to cover the appraisal, the survey, and the legal fees, because those are three things that would definitely have to be done when entering into a contract for either lease or sale, or or someone to come in and manage the development. I'm not prepared to cover the other costs. I would be open to having them come back to us after having been farther in negotiations and giving us concrete plans that would warrant the larger amount of funding. I want to make that very clear. I'm not saying that, here's the money for, if we were to pass it, here's the money for the appraisal, the survey, and the legal fees, and the rest is on you. But what I'm saying is that those are three things that have a concrete, direct relationship with either a sale or a lease of the facility. Understanding that the money would come back to us if it were sold, or when it were sold, hopefully. I feel like we went down the road of the fire suppression system once already. And I understand that, we then transferred it too quickly to then have an interest to be able to a bondable interest. And the property management, I can't get on board with signing up for $100,000 of that before we even decide what's going to happen there. I think that those numbers add up to $170,000 for the legal, for the estimate. And again, it's astonishing to me that we only have estimates on these since we've been going at this for so long, but I'll let that lie. I think $170,000 is a good faith effort from this body to show that we're not invested in seeing the property go just as is forever, but also that we have a lack of trust that would allow us to pony up the whole $435,000. That's where I'm at. I don't know if I want to make that in the form of a motion yet, or if we want to get some more weigh-in from the committee first.
Okay. Further discussion, Mr. Archer?
I think that's reasonable, and particularly the part that if they come back for us for more money, but to come back with the things that Legislator DeLon outlined, that we should have had from the get-go, which outlines what direction you're going, what you're going to need from us in the future, so that we're not doing fire drills every time there's a real emergency and we've got to make something happen. I know deals fall through, things happen, but the more informed, the better planning and better understanding of directionally what's happening, I think that we can all get on board, because nobody wants to see this building go to waste. And it's a real opportunity, but it's not been communicated very effectively.
Further discussion?
Yeah, I came here not prepared to support any of it, although the portions that Legislator Ronk references are arguably the portions that make most sense to me for the reasons that you state. again, I my challenge is that many of us seem to be having a conversation about sale, and I'm not sure that that's, well, I am sure that that's not really what we're talking about. What we're really talking about is a development deal and filling the building with tenants. And I don't really have a sense of how long that would be for. And so I don't know. But that's definitely more reasonable than the whole. I'd be curious what the rest of the members of the committee think.
Chair Donson, did you?
The what is the total number on 340? I don't have the
435,000.
That's in 450?
Well, that's four. Yeah, because 451 is the actual transfer of the money.
Oh, okay, I got you.
450 is the capital project. 451 is the
Gotcha.
Sorry, 450 is the capital project. 451 is the contract with USITA.
Right. No, I mean, okay.
Is that all you had, Chairman Donaldson? Okay. Let's share our turn.
Can somebody explain to us, you talked about us owing tax money, but if the county owns a building, we don't pay taxes on it. And so you're saying that, you know, we took ownership, so you CETA did miss the tax roll for ownership and applying for exemption. Why are we paying taxes if we took ownership?
So two things. USITA didn't miss the tax roll. The transfer didn't get completed until July,
okay.
So it wasn't just that they missed it. It is a unique situation for a county to acquire properties via in rem foreclosure. In that instance, the county is obligated to pay the taxes on the property. So this is a unique situation. Mark, you want to?
It's not that we pay the taxes on the property. It's that we make the other taxing jurisdictions whole. And we do that for any foreclosed properties that we take through an in rem process.
Expecting to get it back in the sale of that property.
Hoping to eventually get it back.
Can I just ask for clarity? So is that in perpetuity? If the county, let's say we didn't transfer it to USITA, let's say the county kept the building and said, you know what, we're going to move all operations to that building. We're going to now make it the government seat. We'd have to pay school taxes in perpetuity?
No.
Go ahead.
Or we would have to
It actually goes a step further back than that, and that's for a property like this where Ginsburg wasn't paying taxes, we've been making him whole prior to the the towns, the school, whole prior to the foreclosure process. So it started even earlier than that. We are supposed to collect the taxes and pay the other municipalities. So even prior to the foreclosure, if those taxes aren't getting paid, we're making those other jurisdictions whole. Now, if we foreclose on the property and use it for a county purpose, then no, we are not paying taxes in perpetuity. But otherwise, we continue to pay
the first year only? It's not... We needed just a little clarification on that because we're saying this year we're responsible for about $700,000 in tax, but not next year.
Right.
By virtue of the fact that the USITA will
right.
go through the
and,
process.
And so if USITA applies to get exempt from that, what happens? We don't make the
jurisdictions whole. Well, no, we don't make the jurisdictions whole if it's a tax exempt property. Then the jurisdictions would not receive the
tax. All right. Legislative Bartels, then Legislative Parity.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just because I was confused on this, and it's honest, I'm being earnest and saying I just don't fully understand. You know, I looked on the parcel finder and looked at county owned properties, and 201. It says wholly exempt. It says wholly exempt on the railroad. It says wholly exempt on Creeks Lock Road. It says that we own vacant commercial property. It says wholly exempt. It says wholly exempt on vacant residential property that we own. So what I'm trying to understand is why this is a unique property that I get that we make the towns whole when we haven't foreclosed, but when we take ownership, I want to understand why we have to continue to make the towns whole.
Can can I attempt to clarify this? I think I understand it. Let me just see if I'm correct in my understanding of it. It's a timing issue, that if it doesn't get taken over, if it happens after the March, whatever that deadline came there, it's still technically seen as the previous owner, which is why the county makes them whole. And is that the correct understanding, or am I completely off base?
I think everybody's got elements of the correct understanding, and I think it just would take a sit down to go through this in detail, and honestly should involve Bert and the county attorney, because that's really the specialist in this.
All right, legislative parity was first, and then Comptroller Gallagher.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I listened to the discussions before, and it seems to be an underlying theme that there has to be a better idea, has to be something different. But I didn't hear anything different. I didn't hear a better idea. And as the Right Honorable Leader behind me said earlier, place has been vacant and in a bone of contention for 25 or 30 years. Now suddenly there's some traction, things happening. You know, a body in motion tends to stay in motion, and a body at rest tends to stay at rest. If there's a little motion now, they can get some traction, make some adjustments. If they get bogged down, they're going to be bogged down for an awful long time. I think it's time to move forward on what they're trying to do out there. So I thank you for the time.
Comptroller Gallagher.
Case law in New York says that local development corporations are not by their nature necessarily considered charitable entities. And so that is why USITA is going to maybe be required to pay these taxes on it going forward. The assessor will review the exemption request and make a judgment. And there will be square footage that hopefully will be leased up, and the assessor will make a judgment on the value of that square footage, and there will be taxes on those portions of the building.
Commissioner Bartels?
For those that are rented. For the portions that are not rented, we're going to have to make the argument to the assessor that is for a county use.
Legislator Bartels, you choose your mic.
Thank you. I think what I need to get clarity on is not so much the situation with USITA, which that I feel like I actually understand, and maybe I don't, but that's what I feel like I do. But what I definitely don't understand is why the county, once the county has taken ownership, why the county is obliged to make the town and the school whole. That's the part. Because I don't see any county-owned property, including commercial and residential vacant property, including the railroad, including every building that we own that says County of Ulster, every one of them says wholly exempt on the tax parcel. So that's what I'm just trying to understand in the portion that we're talking about where the county owes the bill. That's the part that I don't get.
Yeah, I think technical discussion of that would reveal, I think, a lot, and we can do that. I just wanted to make a clarification that on the resolution and the proposed amount of the contract with USITA, there's $100,000 in here that's for improvements to the sprinkler system, and I know Legislator Ronk pointed that out. And just to clarify, this is a separate need than what was identified in the prior capital project related, and I think this will all be familiar maybe in a painful way, that IBM had all utilities on one connection. So natural gas, electric, sewer, water, all one connection. About a year and a half ago, we separated the natural gas and the electric. The water is not separated. For the past year and a half or so, a tenant on the east side of the campus has been paying that water bill. They are no longer paying that water bill. That means that there is a shutoff in the future. In order to fire protect this building, there needs to be a separate connection for sprinkler service. So that's what's included in this budget, that $100,000 in the last line item in the Schedule B.
Further discussion? Mr. Rock.
I make a motion that we amend the resolution to pay for in this resolution the property appraisals, property surveys, and legal counsel for Enterprise West, totaling $80,000, $50,000, and $40,000.
Can I have a second?
I'll second that.
Second, Legislator Mayo. Discussion? Chair Donaldson?
So you don't,
Can you just use the mic, Chair Donson?
You don't want to do the water system, the water sprinkler system.
I am not saying I don't want to do the water sprinkler system. What I'm saying is that the argument that has been made to me and my caucus over and over again is that, you know, there are costs here that need to be done immediately in order to properly enter into contract negotiations. And the common theme was we need, you know, you can't do it without a survey. You can't do it without an appraisal. I think that, you know, this offering of a compromise allows some of the project to move forward this month and shows a good faith to our developer partner that they're currently negotiating with. And then it gives the EDA and the administration some extra time to try and build trust and confidence in the project as a whole. I came into today, fully planning on making a motion to postpone everything in here tonight. And I have searched my soul throughout the day and have thought that this might give us the opportunity to have a happy medium where we can start to negotiate with National Resources, or yeah, say we, Mr. Wiedemann, can start to negotiate with National Resources in good faith, with the understanding that they'll have what they need to be able to make those negotiations happen. And nothing, and I want to make it clear, I understand that if they're able to build our trust and confidence that they'll be coming back for sprinklers and some property management items. I will tell you that the property management is going to be a hard sell for me because the EDA does have $200,000. And if they used $100,000 of it for plowing and mowing, as if the county really can't, help accomplish those goals, they would still have $100,000.
Chair Donaldson.
Well, I think to really be in good faith with this, I think we should include the engineering and architectural services, the $65,000, is that way they can start that process.
I'd like to see what the committee's thoughts are on this first. I don't think that the architecture and engineering are our responsibility. That's that goes down a rabbit hole because then, the architecture and design is going to turn up $300,000 in more costs that we're going to have to pay right after we do that. I see the boulder rolling down the hill, and it only gets bigger when you roll it down the hill. I think that this is a good starting point, and these are also the costs that have been repeatedly said to me are 100% necessary to be able to enter negotiations.
All right, Legislator Bartels, but we got to be mindful of time here. We only have less than 25 minutes here, so.
Well, technically, we're supposed to have caucus after this, so.
We'll give you 2 minutes.
Yeah, I came to today, too, fully prepared to support a postponement in anticipation of really getting a better sense and a more thorough presentation and understanding of what the goal is in the way that Legislator DeLon articulated and others have articulated today as well. Legislator Ronk's suggestions, it is true. I mean, these were the things that were being asked for at the front end. One question I have is, and it's a technical one for someone who knows, and in terms of an appraisal, is an appraisal an appraisal? Meaning, is an appraisal for this use, would that be the same appraisal as an appraisal for sale?
No.
Is it all the same?
Mm-hmm. No, there's different appraisals.
There's refinance appraisal, sale.
Lending appraisals, yep.
So what kind of appraisal are we contemplating for this cost?
$50,000.
No, but which type of appraisal?
Come on.
Yeah.
if I might. So I think the closest equivalent is a sale appraisal. We ultimately want to know the value of the property, so as we enter into negotiations with the developer on a master developer agreement, we can understand what thresholds would have to be met to consider a purchase.
Okay, so that answer, I do feel more comfortable, because I feel like with that information, if that information came back to the legislature as part of a discussion, we could also have that discussion where smart minds can disagree on the best use, but hopefully we could have that discussion about potentially even contemplating an RFEI that looks at sale, because that would be something that I would like to have a sense of on the table as well. It would make me feel much more comfortable about where we were going. So my short answer is that I feel more comfortable.
Deputy Naked Rider.
If I could just add one thing, and, you know, Tim raised it, but we have been notified that there is an intent by the Kingston Water Authority to shut off the East Side campus because, you know, he mentioned a customer, but FarmBridge was paying the bill, and they are no longer doing so. And by the end of the year, the water will be shut off, and there will be no fire protection to this building. So we will have UCEDA will have an asset that is there that will not have fire protection. And I get that you're saying we can come back to you, but that takes time to get that work done. And so to accomplish that by the end of the year, this would need to move forward.
Let's say it wrong.
Then two things. First off, I think that the Kingston, you know, the Kingston would be, it wouldn't be in their best interest, I don't think, in working together with the county to turn off the water to a county asset. I'm throwing that out there as a, you know, I'm you know, usually government partners work together in the city of Kingston, you know, I don't know that they want to burn all of those bridges, but if they do, then the onus is on the executive's office and UC to build that trust in a hurry and come back to us next month. That's, you know, that's all I can say.
Chair Donson.
Just as a point of information, the Kingston Water Department is virtually an autonomous body within the city of Kingston, so it'll be up to that board.
There's no new discussion. Let's vote on Legislator Ronk's motion. All those in favor?
Aye. Can we just get a clarification? Is that on the three components?
Yes. It's totaling $170,000. It is the property surveys total estimated at $80,000, property appraisals estimated at $50,000, and legal counsel for Enterprise West estimated at $40,000.
Again, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? I'm actually going to oppose myself. Does it carry?
Yes.
Legislator Perry's vote was?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. All right. Okay. Motion carries. 451, approving the execution of contract for...
Mr. Chairman, we have to vote on the resolution as amended.
You're right. On the resolution as amended.
Aye.
In favor? Opposed? Chair Donson, are you opposing this as well?
I'm for it.
You're for it. Okay. Legislative parity?
He raised his hand.
Okay. I'm opposed. Okay. 451. Approving execution.
I'll move it for discussion.
Move it. Discussion second. Discussion.
This resolution is going to have to be amended to match the dollar amounts and scope of services that we have just approved in 450. So I make a motion that we amend 451 to, you know, and again, it's going to take some work, but from our attorney, but, you know, to amend the contract to match what we just approved in the capital project in 450.
Second. Okay. Discussion. All those in favor on the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to be opposed as well. All right. On the amended resolution, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. 459, purchasing of buses for $91,000. Can I have a motion? Chair Donaldson, second.
Second.
Ronk. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. 461.
I'll move it.
Second. Second, Archer. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. 464.
I'll make a motion that we block 464 through 475. They're all bonds.
Motion. Second?
Second.
Second, Mayo. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. All right. On the block.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. 478, authorizing the chair to sign an agreement with the town of Rochester for the use of voting equipment.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Second, Archer. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Rescinding resolution number 333. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Move it. Second. Second, Archer. Discussion? Legislator Rock?
Huh?
Oh, I thought you had discussion.
No.
Legislator Bartels?
I'm going to ask that we postpone this resolution a month. There have been some good discussions between the legislative financial team and the financial team financial director. And I also I feel like we're not there yet. So we're working toward conclusion. So I'd like to ask that we
postpone. I second that motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Which one? Resolution?
Opposed?
405.
505. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
I move that we block 506, 7, and 8 together. They're all the late resolutions.
We can't. 506,
oh,
we can't.
Okay.
506, approving execution of contract for Institute of Family Health. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Legislator Walter is going to recuse for purpose of employment. Now, if you want to, 507.
I move we block 507 and 508.
All right, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, on the block?
Aye.
All in favor? Opposed? So carried. Any new business? Motion to adjourn? Chair Donaldson, second. Archer, all those in favor? Opposed? So carried. Thank you.